Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, I'm following up with Mel, who is on the red carpet at the Daytime Emmys. Stay tuned. Welcome.
Hey, hey.
You were our West Coast correspondent for the 49th annual Daytime Emmy Awards.
Yeah.
Now that you're out in California, you're our West Coast correspondent. What was it like going to the red carpet for the first time? And might I just say, you looked like perfection on the red carpet in the photos that you shared.
Thank you, Luke. It was a really good time. I attended both ceremonies. I did the Creative Arts and Lifestyle Emmys the week before and the Daytime Emmys this week. So for me, the Creative Arts Emmys was kind of like a warm-up to the big show. And it really helped me get the swing of things and, you know, find your place on the red carpet, checking in, that whole deal. And then, you know, it was down to business. And the first person I interviewed on the red carpet for the Creative Lifestyles Emmy was Naomi Matsuda, who plays Lee Finnegan on The Bold and the Beautiful. She was so nice. Really got some great stuff coming up with her and Sheila. If you've been following the show, there's a lot going on. In her exact words, it's about to be bonkers. So there's a little
about to be bonkers is always a great tease.
Yes. So that's a little tease for y'all Bold and Beautiful fans out there. And, you know, she looked gorgeous. She had her stylist, her friend with her. It was just absolutely fantastic. And really the big thing about the red carpet is that you get started and it's a little slow as the star starts to trickle out. And then all of a sudden, boom, it's a freight train. There are people everywhere. And everyone's trying to get interviews and the publicists and everybody. Oh, my gosh. It starts flying by. So the red carpet is about 2 hours, and that 2 hours flies by so fast, I don't even have any words. But I will say there was no one who had any, you know, attitudes or anything like that. It was just positive energy all night, and I loved it.
Well, considering this is sort of, I mean, last year's Emmys were a little bit interesting because we were still in the middle of the pandemic. This is sort of the first full-blown quote-unquote normal Emmys back. I have to ask because Jillian is a longtime admirer, fan of Ted King.
Ooh.
What was Ted King like at the creatives?
Lord, that man is fine. It's all get out. It's even better in person, but not the point. You know what? He was very kind, very professional, and he stopped at every person on the red carpet. And I can't say that for every star because, you know, people get tired. There are all these other different factors, I understand, but Ted King really did. He walked to the carpet with his wife, and he stopped at every single person. I love that. And I did get to speak to him briefly. He did just kind of let us know, you know, what was going on, his character. And he did say that he has already filmed some stuff at Bold and the Beautiful. It just has not aired yet. So watch out. Ted King is coming back.
Okay. Any other actors who really stood out for you from the creatives?
Let's see. From the creative, it all starts to run together at some point. Let's see, who else did I talk to? Oh, you know what? No one knew that Brighton was going to be, from The Young and the Restless, who plays Devon, was going to be at the Creative Emmy. So he just kind of showed up. And we, and the press, you know, the soap press especially, we were all like, oh my gosh, he's here, blah, blah, blah. And it was really great talking to him. He gave me some really good sound about continuing that Winter's legacy. Because, you know, it's really on him and Crystal Khalil to kind of guide that Winter's legacy because they're the ones left who were able to work with Christoph St. John and Victoria Rao and, you know, these iconic characters. So it was really great speaking to him about that and how much it means to him and how much it means to Crystal Khalil. So that's definitely one thing that stood out to me.
What did you think of the red carpet fashion at the creatives? Because Patasha's story looked amazing.
Ooh, I talked to her, yes.
We had I think there was, well, Jennifer Garris, who always looks good on a red carpet. Hayley Poulos was there. I'm not a fan of her character, but Kate Fairbanks at both the creatives and the regular Emmys was stunning. What was the creative red carpet like?
Ooh, the fashion. The fashions, they were showing up and showing out. So Naomi Matsuda, who I mentioned earlier, brought her stylist with her, and her outfits, both of them had a theme, you know? I think at the Creative Enemies, she was the Golden Lotus, and it explains, you know, all the reasons of what color she's wearing and why she's wearing, and she had this, you know, giant tulle behind her, which I thought was so pretty. You mentioned Tosha Story from Young and the Restless. She was beautiful. Oh my God. Her dress, the color, the fit, everything. And I did not know this, and I want to say this. So she brought her son with her on the Creative Arts Emmys for the red carpet. And her son plays jazz on the Bel Air spinoff of The Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Continuation, really. Anyways, on Peacock. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that was your son. So she, you know, she was definitely hyping him up. But they both look gorgeous. The fashion, the ladies and the men, both of they were serving. It was great.
What was the press room like at the creatives?
So anything this year
was fun for you from that experience?
So what's funny is that this year they didn't have a true press room. They did things a little differently.
Okay.
Instead of having a press room, after the red carpet was over, they took us, you know, back and they fed us, which I thought was fantastic. Shout out to the Emmys for that. And then when we came back out, we were still on the red carpet, but they had like a group of chairs for everyone who said they were going to stay. And they called it the winner's walk. So whenever the show starts, the winners are announced, they come back with their Emmy, and they basically make their way to where the press is. And it's kind of like an open forum. There's two microphones set up. They announce the winner, who they are. They walk up to the microphone, and then you could just ask questions, you know, as they come up. So there were TVs around, so you could see, you know, exactly what's going on and what's happening and who won. So that way you're not surprised, like, oh, what category was happening? I don't know. But I think for sure what stood out on the Creative Arts Emmys was Ted King. So it was the last category of the night. And nobody knew that until maybe, I don't know, an hour into the show. So the whole time we were all waiting because the majority of people who stayed were soap press. So we're like, oh, when are we getting to the category? When are we get there? So I think one of my favorite things is everybody debating on, okay, who's going to win? Who had the best reel? Who had the best story? I don't know. They won for this role. This person won for, you know, back in 98. Could it be a repeat? Oh, well, you know, they left the show. So, you know, it could happen. So that was definitely one of my favorite things. But when Ted King won, he got a standing ovation from everyone who was still at the Emmys, so press-wise, because he's been in the game a long time. So it's great to see someone get recognized.
Well, you are my winner for the Daytime Emmys, so I hope that you got to strut the winner's walk at the creatives.
Now, you know, I got up there and made sure I got my picture and walked down there and made it do what it do. I had to do it, you know. As a girl, a Southern girl from Texas, a small town, I had to do it because, you know, who knows when it's going to happen again.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the actual Daytime Emmys, which took place this past Friday. The team was blogging, and in the midst of blogging, while you were on the red carpet, I got this text from Josh, and he was like, Mel slid into my DMs, and she shared this photo with me, and he was basically soap-gasming over who you took a photo with. And then, like, 20 minutes later, because I'm sure you were in the midst of an interview or something, I got a text from you, and it was like, look who I got this photo with! So, who was your soapgasm photo for the red carpet?
Okay, so my soapgasm, ultimate soapgasm photo, y'all know, Cynthia Watros. Y'all know I had to take it back to my Guiding Light days. I know she is on General Hospital as Nina Reeve. She has been rocking out. She had her nomination this year. So shout out, congratulations to her. But y'all know, as an old Guiding Light fan, that is my Annie Dutton, okay? So when she came up on the carpet, I was like, oh, this is happening. I am getting this interview today. And I did. She spoke to me. She was so nice, so kind, and I brought up Annie, and in kind of a segue to a question about Nina, and she was like, oh, I loved Annie, I had so much fun, and so on and so forth, and I thought that was just so awesome. I think she brought her significant other with her on the red carpet, and at the end, when I was like, oh, do you mind if I get a picture, you know, I would just kind of put it on the blog, she was absolutely gracious, and we took the selfie, and it was great, but I definitely had a little moment of, all right, yep.
See,
that's
Cynthia
Watros.
See, I don't know that I could get through an interview with her without asking the question that drives me insane, which is probably why I would not be a good red carpet reporter, because I'd have to be asking about Nina. And my question would have been, it would be like, so what do you think of the fact that Ava and Nina were absolute rivals? Nina did this terrible stuff to her, and yet now the characters are being written as BFFs. And the reason why I would not be on the red carpet is because I'd probably ask that question, because that's the thing that drives me insane almost as much as Nicholas being written out of character on General Hospital.
Well.
And the soap fan in me could not prevent myself from asking that question. So what did you ask her about General Hospital after you had your Annie Dutton moment?
No, I had to get it out. Well, I wanted to ask her, you know, basically, would she think that her nomination would have been possible, you know, before this year, kind of? And I was like, you know, when did you notice kind of the turn in your character of? Because, you know, before Nina was kind of more of a side character, a supporting character, you know, doing her thing. And then in the past year, in 2021, it was just boom, she became lead. And I kind of asked her, I was like, you know, how do you feel about that? And she gave me a really good answer. I don't want to spoil anything because y'all gonna read it on the blog. But she gave me a good answer about her thoughts on that and kind of where her head was and, you know, when she started noticing things. So I asked her about that, and I kind of asked her, you know, what's going on next for your character, teasing what's going on. She mentioned Nina's going to have a big story this summer, so I'm excited. And I think I asked a question, too, about, you know, kind of taking over the role, because Michelle Stafford was Nina first, and then she went back to Y&R, and then Cynthia stepped in, so I think I got a soundbite about that, too.
Who else stood out for you on the red carpet at the daytime Emmys?
Okay, so then y'all know it's a bunch of Y&R people, right? So I think I was interviewing someone else, and I looked up, and there is Melody Thomas Scott. Whew, I had to catch my breath on
Let
that.
Me ask, was there a halo, a reels or snap filter with all the glowing sparkles and everything as she was gliding down the red carpet
and
for
she
you?
She literally glided down the carpet. She really, because she didn't stop. She didn't give any interviews, but she did. She walked the carpet. She had Ed Scott with her husband, but she just looked so beautiful. She had on this black dress. Her blonde hair was so, oh, it really was a Snapchat filter, y'all. And I was just like, there she is. And I was like, I was trying to get her to stop, but she wasn't stopping, because I was like, come on, girl, we got the same name. Come on. She stopped, though. That was definitely a moment. Seeing Peter Bergman, also Jack Abbott from The Young and the Restless, that was another good one. He gave us a good wave. He didn't stop and do any interviews. I got a great interview with Tracy Bregman and Christian LeBlanc from The Young and the Restless. They walked the carpet together. Fabulous. They were having so much fun.
I said on the reactions podcast, I need to find out whatever she is doing to sustain life and beauty, because she, first of all, never mm-hmm. ages.
Mm-mm.
Second of all, Mm-mm. is always flawless.
Mm-hmm.
And third, I don't know who picks her outfits, but I have never seen her in a bad outfit ever.
And you're not
ever.
You are not going to do it, okay? She was so beautiful and so gracious. I mean, I don't have any words. Like, we kind of talked about the Emmys, and we had a good discussion about how Michael and Lauren have been together the whole time, you know, no divorces. You know, we had a couple of cheating here, there, everywhere.
She got a little Italian sausage.
It happened. It was a thing, but they never got divorced. That was the thing. So we had a good discussion about that, and we teased a couple things coming up. With Lauren and Michael, who's going to be away from the show for a little bit. We'll get back to that soon. Let's see, who else was having? Oh, Lawrence St. Victor. That was a good interview.
Well, I'm sure you were having flashbacks to Guiding Light with him and Marie Bartlett in their hoses.
Yes, honey. Yes, it was so great. And I mean,
after all these years of The Bold, the Beautiful, it really comes back to Guiding Light, him and Marie Bartlett in their underwear with their hoses.
All roads lead back to Guiding Light, right?
So for you, the way that all roads led back to Another World or Santa Barbara for Jamie.
Pretty much. That's the way it goes. No, it was really good to get to talk to him. And I asked him, because, you know, everybody who was on Guiding Light, y'all, I tried to get them. I tried to ask them about kind of the show or the character or something and make it connect to the new character. And I got a good one from Lawrence St. Victor, because I asked him, I was like, how do you think daytime has changed between, you know, Guiding Light and now? And he was talking about how, you know, it kind of felt like the end because he was on the show as it ended, and then everything else, a lot of other shows were going away at the same time. And then he was like, but now it feels differently. You know, there's new shows coming on, especially with, you know, Beyond Salem and things like that. So I thought it was pretty good. Let me see. Anybody else? Did I just have a total? So, guys, you know what? The Days cast, they walked the carpet kind of towards the end. And some of them walked it all the way. Some of them walked a little bit, so on and so forth. But I did get to see Deidre Hall. I thought that was awesome. James Reynolds as well, who I did not know, and I looked this fact up for the Emmys, is the longest running black character in daytime, point blank, period. So I thought that was pretty awesome. I did briefly get to see Greg Vaughn. And if anybody follows me on Twitter, y'all know how much I feel about that man. So
Were you the one who texted me the photo from him working out off of Instagram a while back? Was that you or was that someone else?
I don't remember, but it's only something I would do. So I briefly got to see him. It was gorgeous. Brandon Beamer as well. That's another good looking man.
Oh, he's always been.
Ooh, my gracious. But it was just a great, great experience. I got to see so many people I have grown up with over the years. People, you know, stars and soap people that I'm just like, wow, I've been watching you since I can remember. And now you're here in my face. So it was, I was definitely having a little bit of a moment for sure.
Sal Stowers and Raven Bowens were there. Mm-hmm. Did you have a chance to talk to them?
So, no. Sal Stowers, if I'm not mistaken, I think she talked to maybe one or two people at the beginning of the carpet and then just kind of made her way on down and didn't really stop. Now, Raven Bowens was walking with James Reynolds, and I did see them give a couple of interviews, but by the time I looked up again, they were gone. But a lot of that, I think, is because I don't think Days of Our Lives came out on the red carpet until maybe 30 minutes until it was over. Okay. So by that time, a lot of the publicists and things were kind of saying, all right, guys, we got to get to the main hall. You know, it's almost go time, so on and so forth. I was interviewing the two newbies from Young and the Restless, Kelsey Wang and Allison Lanier.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually I got most of an interview, but they ended up having to go. But it was fun to talk to them because I had been talking to so many veterans of the night, and they were one of the few, you know, younger set, brand new to the show, or even like Allison Lear, you know, brand new to soaps. So I always love to get their opinions on, you know, how soap's different than what you've been doing before. And, you know, is it more difficult and things like that? I think that's a, you know.
So another person who I'm sure, if you had the opportunity, took it, was both on The Young and the Restless and is on Bold and the Beautiful. Did you have a chance to talk with Don Diamond?
Oh my gosh, that's another one.
I feel like he's another one like Ted King that had the opportunity, you'd just be sort of like, oh.
So what's so funny is that I saw Don Diamond. He came out kind of in the middle towards the end of the red carpet. So if you're coming out in the middle of the carpet, it's insanity. There are people everywhere, everybody's talking to everybody, blah, blah, blah. So I looked up and I saw him and I was like, oh, he's making his way, you know, towards the middle. So that's where Daytime Confidential was on the carpet. We were kind of in the middle, a little bit, you know, closer towards, not the very end, but like, you know, kind of making your way off the carpet.
Right.
So I looked and I saw him down there and I was like, oh, okay, great. He's coming this way. I definitely want to talk to him. And then I looked, he was there. I did an interview. I looked back, he was gone. So I don't think he made his way all the way down the carpet. So I didn't get to speak to him, but I did get to see him, and I can't confirm he got it going on.
So basically what you're saying is you got to bask in his distant reflection.
I did. I got to. Okay. It was beautiful.
So the ceremony itself took place. We had some very interesting winners on the predictions podcast. I think Mike actually ended up winning the podcast. Well, Mike and Josh won, but for different reasons, but they only got two right. And because my strategy for this year's podcast was pick the person least likely to win as the winner, because I figured I would have more success, I still only got one right. So the winner for Outstanding Younger Performer was Nicholas Chavez. What was it like in the press room speaking with him?
You know, he is so sweet. I think with Younger Performer, it's always kind of up in the air unless it's someone who's been on the show a long time, you know, and everybody can be Jen Landon. So I think everybody was kind of like, we don't know. What? She won that category like 57 times. Anyways.
You throwing Jennifer Landon in there for as someone who is extremely talented. She's extremely talented. I just had just not thought of her in so long. And the fact that you just randomly throw her out, it was like, okay, this is hilarious.
I'm just saying, younger. I think a younger actor, actress, you know, so right. And so forth. And I'm
well,
like,
Brighton McClure won that category for a very long time,
he
too.
Did. Brighton won for a long time. She did, you know, anyways. So it's always kind of up in the air for that category. And it was general joy during the winner's walk when he won.
Oh, so everybody they did the winner's walk at this as well?
Yeah, yes, yes. It was the same setup from the creative arts to the daytime at me. So there was no press room this year, which was, you know, interesting. But I think it worked out. It was pretty good. But anywho, everybody was excited. You know, he's a young actor, a newer actor. And he does a fantastic job as Spencer. So everybody was excited to talk to him. And he gave some good sound bites of, you know, not how he got the role, but, you know, how he enjoys the role and how it's really been paying off for him. And if I'm not mistaken, he is a Texas boy. So I always love seeing Texas succeed.
Okay. The winner for supporting actor was Jeff Kober, who Jillian lovingly calls Bundles.
Yes.
What was your experience with him?
So I got to interview him on the red carpet, and he is such a chill dude. I mean, just smooth. And I loved hearing him
talk
about...
He's a smooth operator.
Okay, I don't know about all that, but calm down, Sade. He's a smooth guy.
Listen, if you've done enough red carpets, you could just go down the line and answer all the questions and be smooth and suave and keep on moving and keep the pace clip. I mean, the clip quickly. I can't talk. Mm-hmm. A fast clip. There we go. Now that I've completely fallen all over myself.
I got him to talk about how, you know, it is playing such a villain because, you know, he's done a ton of things, you know, theater and prime time and films and everything. So he was talking about how fast paced daytime is, you know, and how it's only one take and things like that. But anywho, to hear him win, everybody was excited. They were like, okay, yes, that makes sense. You know, he's a great actor. He has some really heavy stuff. So he definitely plays into everything. And he was the same all the way through. He didn't let any of the hustle or the bustle or the carpet get to him or winning or any of that. And it was just so gracious and calm and answered everybody's questions. So yeah, he was good.
The winner for supporting actress was Kelly Thibault. what did you, how was that?
Honey, Kelly Thibault got her Emmy and started screaming. Okay. Like you just hear that coming from the awards room that they had. And everybody was like, well, that's Kelly. Cause you know, she was the first winner of the night. So she definitely got us make sure that we were awake and ready to roll. But she was so excited. You could see it in her face. She was not expecting to win at all. She was just overjoyed. So it was good to see someone be so thankful and so you know, just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I won. That was fun.
The winner for Outstanding Lead Actor was John McCook.
Mm-hmm.
On this was the one that I got right. But I got it right because I didn't think he would win, and then he won. So what did you think? On the previous podcast, I mentioned the fact that for us television viewers, when he won, they cut to Susan Lucci giving him a standing applause because he's been in the industry so long without having won. So yes. What was it like with him on the winner's walk?
Wow. So... excuse me. So we had been watching him, you know, kind of come up with his Emmy, because this Winner's Walk was very similar to the Creative Arts Emmys one, except for there were more, you know, major outlets at the daytime Emmy. So they were given a first take at, you know, whoever was winning and, you know, interviews and so on and so forth. So John McCook finally makes his way to the soap press and everyone else left. And he gets to the podium, and everybody gives him a standing ovation. And it lasted for a good 2-3 minutes. But it's because he has been in his role for so long, literally longer than I've been alive, okay? And this is the first Emmy for him.
Make me feel old here.
Well, I'm just telling you the truth. So it was really great to be able to celebrate that with him. And you could see him really just kind of taking it all in, like, this is really happening. I can't believe this. And everyone was so respectful of him and was just so proud to see him finally up there and finally winning an award. It was great. That was probably one of my favorite, probably the number two moment of the Winner's Walk. You can guess number one.
Well, let's talk about lead actress. Michelle Morgan from The Young and the Restless was the first Black actress to win lead actress. What was that like?
Whew, that one got me. That, because I had asked Michelle on the red carpet. I asked her, I was like, you know, you have the potential to be the first Black woman to win. What does this mean to you? And she gave me this really thoughtful and genuine answer. And I was so pulling for her before then. And you know, I thought she did really great work this past year on The Young and the Restless. I thought she deserved it. And everybody in the Winner's Walk kind of had the same vibe of, you know, we really hope she gets it. But I always say the lead actress category is the toughest category every year. It's every woman nominated is always at the top of their game. Always, you know, some veteran actress who's been in the game for a long time. We know they've proven themselves. So there's always just the toughest category. And it's always hard to choose. So I think I had Michelle Morgan. I was really rooting for it. But I also was like, man, Cynthia Watrous has some good story this year. It could happen. So we were all in the press kind of talking about that. And when they announced Michelle, I was screaming. James Lott was so excited as well. And there were a couple other people, and we were just, you know, you couldn't hold your emotions in because it was a history making moment. The first Black woman to ever win the lead actress award. Like I just kind of started having a moment because I was like, I'm watching history be made right now. The glass ceiling is completely broken through. There's shards everywhere. And I'm so happy to be in that moment and celebrate with Michelle. That was, I'm going to keep that one with me for a long time.
Days of Our Lives won for Outstanding Writing.
Mm, mm.
What was that like?
So I had been pulling for Days to win this category, of course, because our own Jamie Giddens was nominated and is now an Emmy winner. I just wanted to say that. But seeing the category go, and we didn't know how it was going to go, because up until that moment, General Hospital had been winning everything.
They were sweeping the younger mm-hmm. and the supporting.
Mm-hmm. They had won. I think they won for a directing too, I think. So they were 3-for-3 at that moment. Everybody was like, what is going on? Is GH about to sweep? I don't know what's going on. So when they announced Days was the winner, I was just like, yes! I was so excited to see the show get the win, because I think they won for the Mothership, right? They won for Days of Our Lives and not Beyond Sailor.
Yep.
Because, you know, they had written, they had done 2 shows this year, and there was, the devil was back in Salem, honey. So it was good to see that story get its due and watch them win. And of course, you know, Jamie is a writer too, so it just meant so much more. Whew, it was great. I love seeing it. And Ron was so gracious, coming out. He got the Emmy, took all the pictures, and came back in and answered questions. So I thought that was great.
Is there anything that you can tease that he teased for upcoming story?
Oh, babies. I got the tea on Beyond Salem. Loretta Devine's character, who I cannot tell who she is. I'm sworn to secrecy. I did get a mention on that. There's also...
Did you talk with Ron on the red carpet? I guess I should have asked. Okay.
I did talk to Ron on the red carpet. He was very nice. Gave me some good sound bites on things. I asked him all about Beyond Salem. I asked him a little bit about Bowen Hope. He gave me some things on that, of what's coming up with them. And then I had a good talk with him about, you know, was there any pressure of feeling like Beyond Salem season 2 had to top the first season. And he was like, you know, absolutely. You always want to make sure that you're trying to do your best and not trying to do too much. So I thought that was, you know, really great to talk to him. And then it's only 5 episodes again. So how do you tell this really great succinct story with all of these returning characters again in 5 episodes? So he kind of talked about the process and how you want to make sure you're focusing on the right things. And I did talk to him, too, about Days of Our Lives proper, the Mothership. And, you know, the show is losing so many people right now. So he was able to talk about how, you know, they are a ensemble cast. It's going to be different for sure with so many people missing, but they're going to make it do what it do.
Okay. Best show, General Hospital 1. What was that like?
With General Hospital's track record that night, everybody was kind of like, I figured, because in the early show, they were, the brooms was coming out, honey, but then they had to put them up. So we weren't exactly shocked by everything, but it was just like, all right, I guess so. And I will say that Frank Valentini did not come all the way down the winner's walk. He did the major outlets for the most part and then did not come and speak to the general soap press.
He did not speak to the soap press.
No, he did not speak to the soap press at all.
Interesting that he would snub the soap press.
Yeah, and actually sent whoever was that night had the pleasure of, you know, announcing this is blah, 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 and they've won for, you know, the Young and the Restless, so on and so forth. Didn't come himself, didn't say, oh, hey, you know, I'm not going to walk, I'm tired, blah, blah, blah. Nope, sent whoever it was, and they were just like, he's not going to do it. Okay. And that was the last one of the night.
So that's interesting, considering that shows the kind of, well, I wouldn't say it shows, but I think people can get a sense.
Yeah, so I thought that was...
Of the value he may put in things.
I don't know. I thought that was interesting. That was the only person all night that didn't even bother to come down.
Listen, I saw photos of Drew Barrymore back there, and she was the presenter for the last one.
Let me tell y'all something about Drew Barrymore, okay? Y'all know she been in this game her whole life. She comes from a famous Hollywood family and was the nicest lady. She really, really was. At the end of the night, when the show was over, she was outside of the convention center taking pictures with anybody who wanted one.
That is amazing.
Anybody. It was people outside, you know. So in Pasadena, where the convention center is, it's like next to all of these restaurants and, you know, fun things to do and blah, blah, blah. And she was out there in her Emmy dress, her beautiful pink dress, just taking selfies, doing whatever, talking to people. And I was like, that is so kind of her. Because, you know, she doesn't have to do that. She can go home, do her thing, blah, blah, blah.
Right. No,
she was out there.
Well, just... and what was interesting about that was, like, to me is, you think about the fact that, as you pointed out, where she comes from. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of her as an actress, but her as someone who is an engaging personality. It's sort of like, I enjoy some Kelly Clarkson songs, but I love Kelly Clarkson the person. I love watching her when she's on The Voice. I love watching her on the show. There's something so gracious and so kind and so wonderful about Kelly Clarkson.
Yes.
And that's sort of the same sense that I get with Drew Barrymore. Even though I'm not a huge fan of her movies, I find her to be immensely engaging and wonderful with fans.
And that's exactly who she was. She was so sweet, so nice, and I just wasn't expecting that from her, and it was great to see.
Did Suzanne Rogers come back after the tribute to John Aniston?
No, we did not see Suzanne Rogers.
Technically, she's not a winner, so I guess it's not when it's not. When it's not a press room and it's a winner's walk, technically she doesn't have to go. So that's sort of why I was curious as to whether or not she went back there or not.
No, we didn't see Suzanne. We were excited to see Jennifer Aniston give her speech, her little montage about her father, because we didn't know if she was going to show up or, you know, anything that was going to happen. But I will say there was definitely chat in the winner's walk when they had the Lifetime Achievement Award and John Aniston wasn't there. There was definitely like a concern. So, right. I don't know. I hope all is well with him.
I don't know anything.
Right. I don't either.
But you just look at how often he's been on Dave.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's in really good health, they use him. Mm-hmm. Sort of the same way that they use the Hays. Mm-hmm. The Hays are on a lot when they're available for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
John Aniston is sort of the same, and he hasn't been on a lot, so it's sort of understandable in that sense.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, but it was definitely like, well, we really do. I hope and pray all is well with him. Honestly, I do. It's such a legend. It was great. It was really great too, seeing all of the older flashbacks and the older clips of him, because I don't think I had ever seen him with dark hair. So that was definitely a fun moment for me.
Did Susan Lucci come through the winner's walk?
She did not. She did not walk the red carpet. Nobody really knew that she was there. I kind of saw her in passing after the red carpet was over, you know, walking to the hall where they had the actual daytime Emmys, because I was like, oh, Susan Lucci. I didn't realize she was here. And then, but a lot of people didn't see her. So when she came out to do the in memoriam, everybody was like, what? She's here? I didn't know. I was like, I saw her very briefly. You know,
listen, Susan Lucci told me to tell you she a diva. and not in a negative way, but like, listen, she is one of those who can go to and she can come through the back entrance and never have to see anybody if she wants to. And in this case, in light of what she was there to talk about, that's totally you can totally mm-hmm. respect her doing that. Does she really want to be on the red carpet talking about the death of her husband for an hour prior to getting up on stage and talking about the death of her husband?
Right.
No one wants to do that.
Well, she
so you can totally respect her. You can totally respect her mm-hmm. as the, and I said diva earlier, and what I should have said is icon.
Oh, yes.
Susan Lucci is an icon. There's something that comes along with being Susan Lucci mm-hmm. that you just is a it's that just that little extra level of she gets what she wants and she deserves it.
I mean, she is Susan to the Lucci. She is right. La Lucci. She can do whatever she wants to do. But it was good to see her and see her out. She looked fabulous. Ever sure condolences to her on the loss of her husband. Absolutely.
Were there any surprises from the red carpet or the winner's walk that really sort of like, wow, I didn't expect that?
I mean,
other than Michelle.
Okay. Other than Michelle, you know, Drew Barrymore was one for sure. I know we just talked about her, but I didn't think she was going to come. I didn't think any of that. And she showed up, she walked the carpet. She was doing pictures outside. That was definitely a wow moment for me. Seeing Nancy Lee Grahn, who had a message on her person, actually, because it was the same day.
And her purse.
Yes. It was the same day as the Supreme Court decision about Roe versus Wade. So I really wanted to talk to her, but she didn't walk the full carpet. She walked maybe about half or so. But just seeing that for sure was a wow moment, because everybody was kind of speculating. The soap press were speculating that everybody's like, you know, she's going to say something, like she has to do something. So when we saw her, it was like, all right, there we go. That makes sense. Kelly Monaco walked the red carpet, which I was shocked about too, because I didn't think she was going to come, and she walked for a little bit. So it was great to see her. I'm trying to think any other big moments. Yeah. And then the wild moment of, you know, Frank from GH not speaking with the press. That was another wow moment.
We talked the fashion for the creatives. Who stood out for you fashion-wise on the red carpet?
Kimberlyn Brown from The Bold and Beautiful / Young and the Restless was wearing this white jumpsuit
with a train.
With a train and a cover. Woo, she killed that. She looks so good in that outfit. Oh my God.
And that photo is currently live on, that is one of the many photos from the red carpet currently live on Daytime Confidential that you can check out.
And I really loved it because of her character, because of Sheila. You know, we don't really get to see her dolled up all the time. You know, she'll be wearing her jeans, her slacks or whatever, and her little
right.
shirt. And she going to do her thing. She got evil things to do, and we can't do that in a dress, apparently. Anyways, but it was great to see her dolled up. You know, she had on her makeup. She was just looking beautiful. I love seeing her like that, because that's not something we get to see a lot from her. Brittany Sarpy, is that how you say her name?
Yep.
From The Young and the Restless? She had on this gold or silver dress.
I noticed that gold and silver seemed to be a theme. There was some pink that seemed to be a theme. Those were the two quote-unquote themes that stood out for me.
Oh, yes. Her dress was gorgeous. I mean, that's how you wear a dress. She didn't, you know, speak to any other red carpet or people or red carpet press or anyone, but when she came walking down that red carpet, oh baby, you saw her, because that's how you wear a dress. Whew, glory.
Jennifer Garris looks stunning.
Oh,
Jacqueline McKinnis Wood.
Yes.
Jacqueline McKinnis Wood looks amazing in the photos. Not being there, I imagine in my head that if there was some sort of like any type of fan around the red carpet that made like Jacqueline McKinnis Wood's outfit just sort of like flow in the wind, that it would be a visual.
You want to talk about somebody who got to walk?
Okay.
Jacqueline McKinnis Wood, baby, she walked that carpet. Do you hear me? Like she was walking the runway. Like, I was speaking to, so I was having to be right next to James Lott Jr. on the carpet. And we were talking, and we saw her walk by and stopped, because she stopped us in our tracks like that. We were like, man, now that's a walk, honey. That's how you get it done.
Well, I'm not surprised that she didn't talk to you. That was just me making a joke about the checkbox, the checkboxes from back in the day.
She talked to me? No, because I had her on the checkbox for like 2 years, okay? It was a long time. I understand.
But what's amazing about that, so like what's interesting about that is Camilla Banas on the One Life to Live. Look at what she has done on Days, and now she's one of my favorite characters on Days because as an actress, she's grown. I think that Jacqueline McKinnis Woods is another one of those examples.
Agreed.
Where as an actress, she has immensely grown. Okay, this podcast has been going since 2006, okay? So we're getting up there, 16 years of podcasting. And in that time, we as individuals, as podcasters, as creatives, whatever, have grown. They as actors have grown. So it's totally understandable that over time, they have blossomed the way that you can on screen when you're on the same show for a long time.
Oh,
and it's wonderful to see.
I love it. When somebody can graduate from a checkbox, I really do love seeing that. And Jacqueline Woods was definitely one. Like, we all know where she started and where she is now. Oh, she got it now.
Well, and she's won the lead actress Emmy, if I'm not mistaken. Wasn't that last year?
Yes, she did.
Or the year before? Well, COVID sort of blurs things, but I swear in recent years she just won lead actress. So
yes, yes. I think she did it last year. She was the, you know, returning winner.
Right. So anything else from the 49th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards that stuck out for you before we wrap this episode?
I do want to give a shout out to my fellow soap press. So I did mention I was next to James Lyle Jr. I also had Errol Lewis on the other side of me from Soap Opera Network. Dan Kroll was like two people down. I'm trying to think who was on the other side of him. I can't remember. But I will say that we all worked together. It wasn't any real, you know, competition or anybody trying to hate on somebody else. We all looked out for each other. It was just
you were
like,
all there because of the love for the genre.
Celebrating, you know, it was honestly like, okay, you want to get Deidre Hall? Cool. Just send her to me after you get her. And it was like that all night. And I'm so excited. Was so happy to see that because I kind of had a different experience on the creative arts side, not with the soap press, but maybe with a outlet that doesn't always cover daytime. Ooh. So they did not know who anyone were. That was interesting. So I didn't have that at the big show at the Daytime Emmys, and it was all love. So shout out to all of them. You know, we all just love the genre. We all want to celebrate it. We all want to see it continue. And if we keep behaving the way that we did on the Daytime Emmys, we can see that. So I definitely want to mention that.
Well, there you have it, listeners. The red carpet recap from the 49th Annual Daytime Emmy Awards with our West Coast correspondent, Melody Akles.
West Coast, best coast.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Boston boys, Jillian, and a couple other people might have something to say about that.
Okay.
I've always been from the central states, the Midwest, or the Rocky Mountains, so I don't have a whatever in this fight. So
I mean,
I'll let you guys take it out.
The third coast, as we call it in Texas.
Oh,
so.
Okay. You can follow Melody on Twitter at Melody Akles. I'm on Twitter at Luke_Kerr. As always, you can find us on Twitter, DC on Twitter at DC Confidential. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/DC Confidential. Comment on this episode on the website, daytimeconfidential.com. We thank you for listening. Until the 50th annual red carpet recap. So long.
Bye, y'all.